It's Saturday, the 20th of February, 2016. Happy birthday to James Johnson and Charles Barkley. Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and Tarantula89. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast like Tarantula89, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become a sponsor for a day. Also, don't forget, if you live in Australia or in New Zealand, moneyball.com.au is your best choice for daily fantasy sports action. They are the leaders over here, so make sure you're checking them out and entering some daily fantasy contests and hopefully winning some money. All right, we've got a lot to talk about. It was 14 games on Friday. No wasting time. Come on.
Let's get to it.
Yes. Now, on the Facebook and Instagram contests for Friday's games, on Facebook was Alex Len. How many points and rebounds was he going to get? No one guessed zero, surprisingly, because he didn't play with a surprise ankle problem. So the prize of absolutely nothing jackpots to tomorrow. But on Instagram, the contest was Brook Lopez. How many points will he score? He played, so that was that's a start. Obviously, he scored 33. No one guessed that either. So for Saturday, we double up on Facebook. Karl Anthony Towns. How many points will Karl Anthony Towns score? And on Instagram, it is Chris Middleton. Combined points and assists. So make sure you're joining up. You're following and liking on Instagram, redrock_bball, and facebook.com/redrockbasketball. Leave your guesses for those ones when they go up, and of course, tag a friend who you know more than, and beat them in the contest. Okay, there's lots again. There's lots of games and lots to get to. I'll save some time, but hey, let's get into it now. The monstrous line of the night. Pretty sure you all know who it's going to be. Damian Lillard of the Portland Trailblazers scored 51 points, including 9 3-pointers. He had 7 assists. He had 6 steals. He went 18 of 28 from the field. He went 6 of 7 from the free throw line. And he had 0 turnovers. It doesn't get much better than that from Lillard. It's a career high 51 points. He has been incredible over the last couple of weeks. He had a bit of a slow month in January, but his last 2 weeks, which is only 4 games, but still, he's the number one ranked fantasy player. He's averaging 34 points, 5 triples, 8 assists, 3 steals on 47 and 85%. Those numbers will all come down, no doubt. His shooting percentage will not stay at 47. He will not average 8 assists, although he's at 7.3 for the season, so maybe he will. He will not get 3 steals a game because it's an area that's always been lacking in his game. Still, if you're owning Damian Lillard, you're very, very happy with what's happening with him recently. Just don't expect it to continue at this extreme level. But I think he's been probably what you hope for him. You would have picked him maybe at the end of the first round. He's been a little bit worse than that, but not extraordinarily worse. And that's what I always say about your first round draft picks. You don't have much upside with those guys, but as long as they stay sort of in the range of where you pick them, you're fine. If you picked him at pick 10 and he's ranked 14th, whatever, it's fine. You don't want to pick the guy at pick 8 and he ends up 40th. And you're not looking for a guy, you pick 8, maybe he goes from 8 to 4. Like, in the end, that doesn't matter. You just want solid, steady production. And Lillard's giving you that at the moment. And you know what his downfalls are going to be. It's his field goal percentage. It's his lack of steals. But you love that he's increased his assists. You love his scoring gone up. His threes have gone up. His free throws attempts have gone up. Yeah, he's doing quite a lot this season, as we all know. The waiver wire line of the night is Luol Deng of the Miami Heat. Deng played 38 minutes, and there's a few reasons for that. The Heat were missing probably their best 3 players, or 3 out of the best 4. Depends how you want to look at it. Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and Hassan Whiteside were all out. Deng played 38 minutes, had 30 points and 11 rebounds. Hit a 3, had 4 steals, and went 11 of 17 from the field, 7 of 10 from the free throw line. What do you do with Deng? He's a guy that I've talked about plenty of times in a roto league. He's a great guy to own in a head-to-head league. The upside's not quite there, but over the last month, he's a top 75 player. With Chris Bosh's future uncertain, Deng is going to play a lot of 4. And there's a couple other guys in Miami who had big games here, but Deng is going to get the bulk of this extra usage, extra touches, and extra minutes. He should be owned in all 12-team leagues at this point. Even 10-team leagues, you definitely have to consider Luol Deng. He's not going to go for 30 and 11 and have four steals. It's not going to happen. But over the last month, he is shooting 48%. That will likely regress. But what he'll do, he'll get more usage. He'll score more. The rebounds will come as he plays closer to the basket. The threes are nice from that sort of player. He's been a guy getting a steal a game, which is a real benefit as well. And he's an okay free throw shooter. Luol Deng should be owned in all leagues with this situation with Bosch. Now, when Bosch comes back, you can consider what you want to do with him, whether you own him or whether you drop him. But for now, in 12-team leagues and probably even 10-team leagues, I don't think that Luol, I think that Luol Deng is a pretty good option because there's going to be lots of touches coming his way. And now with Wade dealing with this knee problem, we don't know how serious it is, but it's Dwayne Wade and it's knee, so you never take it lightly. There's going to be extra touches again for Deng. So he's a guy you definitely have to pay attention to. The young gun of the night, we go to the Chicago Bulls, and Doug McDermott played 31 minutes off the bench, had 30 points on a ridiculous 13 of 17 shooting. He hit four triples, had four rebounds, and one assist. That's great. I like Doug McDermott, but how realistic is it that he's going to shoot 13 of 17? The problem with Doug McDermott is, and I've made this reference in a few places today, he's a worse version of Aaron Aflalo. And you know what I think of Aaron Aflalo. McDermott will give you points when he can shoot and when the shot goes in, and he'll give you nothing else, like literally nothing else. His per 36 numbers for the season, per 36 minutes, this is 3.7 rebounds, 1 assist, 0.3 steals, 0.2 blocks. Per 36. It's terrible. Terrible. His last five games have been okay. He's averaging 14.5 points, 1.6 triples on 54% shooting. But the lack of production in other categories means his shot has to fall for him to be valuable. He has to score for him to be a fantasy asset. Yes, he's a great free throw shooter, but his attempts on the season, he's attempting 0.5 free throws a game. So yes, he's shooting at 85%, but at half an attempt, it means nothing. He is not someone, and look, and the Bulls have got a lot of wing issues. Obviously, Jimmy Butler's out, Tony Snell's crap, Mike Dunleavy's coming back from a back injury, so the role is there for him to play 27 minutes, 28 minutes, 25 minutes, that sort of range. But for fantasy, it's not happening. It needs to be a very, very deep league, or all of a sudden, he needs to be a guy who's contributed in multiple areas, and it's just not him. So don't get overly excited by seeing that from Doug McDermott, because it just doesn't, his game doesn't translate into fantasy goodness. The dud of the night is a player who was recently traded at the trade deadline, and it is Markieff Morris of the Washington Wizards. Markieff played 22 minutes and had 6 points on 2 of 8 shooting. He had 2 rebounds and nothing else. It's a bad game. Yep. It doesn't bother me. I don't look at it and go, oh, Morris is going to play 20 minutes off the bench in Washington. I'm dropping him. He's terrible. All that sort of stuff. It's not happening for me. I'd need to see 2 weeks of him playing a 20-minute role off the bench for me to go, okay, well, they're not going to use him. They gave up a not all that heavily protected first-round pick to get him. They want to use him. It's not like Jared Dudley went and played 35 minutes again. He played 26 minutes. Nene played 17 minutes. Markieff Morris is just adjusting to the team. This will happen with these new guys. It'll take maybe a week for him to get into, whether it's a starter's role or not, for him to get close to 28 to 30 minutes a game. And then he should start becoming productive. Now, he won't be as productive as those first few games under Earl Watson in Phoenix, but I think you'll see similar a 2013-14 Markieff, a 2014-15 Markieff. Those sort of numbers are not out of the realms of possibility, and he was a top 100 guy for both of those seasons. In 13-14, he played 27 minutes a game, and he was 14.6 rebounds, 0.8 steals, half a three, half a block. In 14-15, he played 32 minutes and went 15-6. 0.73s gave you over 2 assists, over a steal. 47 and 76%. These are pretty good numbers. I think that he gets back to that sort of level, that sort of 2013-14, 14-15 Markieff Morris, not the one that we saw over these last couple of weeks when he was playing fantastically for Earl Watson. He will be better than this. I am still holding him in every league, and if someone drops him, I'm going and adding him because there aren't many guys, I think, who are going to be around who are going to have consistent top 100 production. You can find guys who will have short-term top 100 production, or maybe he does it for 4 or 5 games, but Morris can do it for the remaining 30 games of the season. I'm relatively confident, or at least until you get into your playoffs and your playoffs finish, he can do it for that sort of time period. So yes, it's a bad start, but numerous reasons for it. I'm not overly concerned. The guy just flew in, and he just flew into the team. Hey, here I am. I was in Phoenix yesterday. Here I am, I'm playing. I've got to get adjusted to things, not panicking at all. The perfect DFS lineup from Friday's games. That's not the right one. That's the right one. It was a massive, massive day. And a couple of guys that I did speak about on the podcast had some big games, and I know that some of the listeners put up some pretty big winnings, so that was great. I think Joe had a nice one that he tweeted at me. At point guard, Drew Holiday put up 49.6 points. He is on fire at the moment, really, really playing fantastically well. Dame Lillard, of course, we just talked about, 73.5 for him. At shooting guard, Vic Oladipo went 40.3, a nice night for him, with a big rebounding night actually there. And Jim Harden had 55.5. He is basically a lock for 50 points most nights. Now, this is where the bargains start coming in. I don't imagine many people had these guys. Luol Deng at 50.2 was a great option. When Wade went down, he was a really solid guy to look at. Dougie McDermott at 36.3. No idea why you would have picked him. At the power forward spot, if you picked Chris Humphries, you're a soothsayer. 41.4 for Chris Humphries. Alex Len went out, and then Tyson Chandler left the game within 7 minutes. And Humphries had to play a huge role in this game and put up massive, massive stats, completely out of the blue. And in Memphis, Jermichael Green, who got the start with Jeff Green out, 36.2, really fueled by an out-of-character defensive performance from Green. So those ones, they clearly weren't on my radar. Big, big nights from those guys. At center, it was an obvious one. Boogie with a huge night, which on any other night would have been the monstrous line of the night. He dropped 68 points. And that lineup would have given you 451 points. I am guessing that absolutely nobody had that lineup. And I think I'd be fairly accurate if I guessed that. All right, it is time for me to have a quick break for a word from one of our sponsors. And then we'll be back to go through these 14 games in some excruciating detail and hopefully help your fantasy team. All right, we are back. Let's get into these games. There's 14 of them. I'll try not to take too many breaths. Dallas at Orlando, an overtime game. Chandler Parsons, it was set up for him to have a big game, and he delivered. 24-4-4, 6 triples, 2 steals, 3 blocks. 9 of 11 shooting is definitely out of character, but he is flying at the moment. If you're stuck with the troubles earlier in the season, you're pretty happy. Darren Williams was also big, 25-4-7 with 5 triples, a steal, and a block. He's available on waiver wires somehow. He shouldn't be. And Zaza Pachulia played 40 minutes, 11-19 with 3 steals. Good, because Zaza had been struggling a little bit. That's a big night. Devin Harris was out, so we saw Ray Felton get 26 minutes. He didn't do much, only 2 points, but the 4 rebounds and 5 assists were nice. We know that he's going to get minutes if something happens to Darren, to Chandler Parsons, and to Wes Matthews. Felton will play 30 minutes, and he will come into considerations in those 14-team leagues. JJ Barea also chimed in with 15 points in 22 minutes, but he's more of a deeper league guy. And Wes Matthews continues to be really just poor. 37 minutes for Matthews, 5 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists on 2 of 10 shooting. Great, he's playing, but he's really not worth owning in standard leagues. He's ranked outside the top 220 in the last month of action. He has just been really poor, averaging under 10 points a game, shooting 35%. He's at 38% on the season. That is a dip of 7% over last season. His threes are down, his scoring is obviously down, he's not rebounding, he's not passing, he's not getting steals at the same rate as last year, and he's playing basically the same amount of minutes. So the Achilles injury has really, really impacted him, as we expected it does, and it does for everybody. And that's key when we talk about the Orlando Magic side of things in a sec. Dirk was a subpar, 4 of 16 for 11 points, did contribute a steal and a block, and had a couple of threes, and so not a complete write-off for Dirk. On the Orlando Magic, okay, Scotty Skiles, you know he's my favorite coach. He's not. But I'm not getting angry at him for Aaron Gordon playing 28 minutes. Gordon had 4 fouls. He had 3 fouls basically at the start of the second quarter, so he was limited there. But Gordon was still good. 7 points, 1-3, 11 rebounds, 1 assist, and a career-high 6 steals. We don't have to be worried about Aaron Gordon playing 26 minutes a night or anything like that. What we do have to consider is that Aaron Gordon will not get 35 minutes a night like a lot of people were anticipating he was going to get when everyone was moved out. It just, he won't get those sort of minutes because Ersan Ilyasova, newsflash to everyone, he's actually good. 23 minutes for Ilyasova, 16-5, 2 triples, 2 assists, and a steal. He'll stay in that range, 23 to 24 minutes, 25 minutes in that sort of range, and be a nice, you know, guy to play alongside, not alongside, to play in place of Gordon and alongside for a little bit. Gordon will be a 30 to 31 minute guy, Ilyasova 20 to 24. It's not going to be 16 minutes for Ilyasova, 35 for Gordon. I don't think that's the way that Skiles is going to run things. So, yes, Gordon should have been owned beforehand. He might have a slight bump from what happened before trades, his value from before the trades, but nothing that's going to be through the roof top 40 sort of guy, I don't think. Nick Vucevic was good, 35 minutes, 21 and 12, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Not a great shooting night from Vuce, but otherwise it's still a pretty handy night. And Vic Oladipo, who I talked about before, he played 42 minutes, 17 and 14, hit 3 triples and had 2 steals and 3 assists. A good night from him. His minutes are way up again. Let's just hope that Skiles keeps him that way. Now, the point guard spot. Lord Alfred Payton played 28 minutes, 9, 3, and 3 with a block and a 3. Not great. Definitely watching this situation. Brandon Jennings played 25 minutes, including big chunks of overtime. 18, 3, and 4 for Jennings with 4 triples. What we have to remember is that we've seen Jennings have nights similar to this in Detroit. And then he'd follow it up with about 7 straight 3-point games without his minutes changing too much. Now, I think he's going to get more minutes here in Orlando than what he got in Detroit. I think that's fair to say. He'll get maybe 20 minutes, 21 minutes. But I don't think we can expect 18, 3, and 4 from him in 24 minutes on a regular basis. This is not, and it's, look, maybe I'm wrong, but this is one of those things where, because it's his first game for a new team, we go, 18, 3, and 4, it's the new Brandon Jennings. It's the new norm. But if he had have gone done that in Detroit, we would have said, okay, well, his last 3 games, he scored 3 points. And there's still a chance that happens here, that in his next game, he goes for 2 and 4 assists, or 6 and 2 assists, or something like that for a big stretch of games. But because it's the first game, similar to Markieff Morris, because it's the first game, well, this is what's going to happen every game from now on. Markieff's going to get 6 points in 22 minutes, and Brandon Jennings is going to go for 18, 3, and 4 in his 25 minutes. That's what's happening. And I urge caution. Wes Matthews came back ridiculously early from his Achilles. He's not the same guy. Brandon Jennings isn't the same guy. Now, he's looking a little bit better now, but he's not the same guy that he was when he was really, really good in Detroit. And he might become good at some point, but I don't imagine it's going to be this year. Hate that Skiles has taken minutes off Alfred Payton. Just a batshit crazy coaching decision. I can't say enough bad things about Scott Skiles as a coach. I encourage you all to go and listen to the Low Post podcast, which I'm sure you do, but listen to the one with David Thorpe, and he's talking about Scott Skiles, and it backs up so many things that I've said about Skiles. Just being a really bad coach and just horrible for player development and team morale and all that sort of stuff. He just shits on players all the time, and it's really not good when you've got a young core. And why would you do it when you've got Jennings as an expiring guy? To get the 8th seed? Look, congratulations. Good on you, Skiles. You made the playoffs. Dickhead. Not dropping Payton at this point. If I have got a streaming roster spot, maybe I add Jennings, but I haven't personally added him anywhere because, again, this could be just one of those, hey, it's a peak, and then we're going to see a trough for 4 or 5 games where he totals 18 points in 5 games. That's something that is very real and has happened quite a bit already this season. I could be completely wrong. It could be that he likes the warmer weather and it's magically healed and he's retained his, or he's regained his speed burst, his explosion, and all that sort of stuff. I'm betting that it hasn't, but you know, maybe it comes true. Evan Fournier got the bulk of the minutes at the 3, and that's another one of those things. Aaron Gordon's going to play the 3 now that Toby Harris is gone. No, because they're going to play Fournier there a lot, and they're going to play Hezonja there too. Fournier went 9, 6, and 8 in his 42 minutes. He has to be owned everywhere. Hezonja only got the 16 minutes, 2, 5, and 1. He's more of a deeper league guy at this point, but he's someone who I'm definitely keeping an eye on. And the forgotten man, CJ Watson, was back. He played 8 minutes, 0 points, and a rebound. Clearly, he's the 3rd point guard. Shabazz Napier is now the 4th. The next game, the Detroit Pistons and the Washington Wizards, the Battle of the Morai. Toby Harris led the team in scoring off the bench, played 30 minutes. It will not last of him just playing 30 minutes, and he might stay on the bench, but he is going to be a 32 to 34 minute guy. He had 21 points with 4 rebounds. He is a guy that I really like in this situation in Orlando, and if people don't necessarily love him in dynasty leagues, I would be trying to acquire him because I think he can be a really, really good guy, a really solid NBA player, and potential stardom. He's a guy that I've liked for quite a few years, if you listen to this podcast, since its inception. I've been a massive Toby Harris fan. This is a much better situation for him. I'm trying to see if I can acquire him before he really starts to get going. Andre Drummond, 11 and 13 with 2 steals and a block. One of the rare nights that his free throw percentage was above his field goal percentage. Don't expect that too often. And Reggie Jackson played 32 minutes, 16, 3, and 5 with a 3 and a block. cool. That's great. Jennings wasn't impacting Jackson. He was getting the similar sort of minutes. Stan Van Gundy doesn't play his point guards 36, 37 minutes. He plays them 30 to 32, and that's what Jackson will continue to do. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope returned, and he went 1 of 11 from the field. That will not happen all that often. 4 and 3 with no other numbers. A terrible, terrible night from Caldwell-Pope, but he is a guy that has to be owned in 12-team leagues, and he could be available on your waiver wire. Marcus Morris, I thought he'd lose some minutes. He didn't, but I think when Toby Harris goes from 30 to 32 to 34, some of that will come off Morris because he's just not a great player. 9-6-3 for Morris. He went 4 of 12 from the field. Hasn't been a must-own guy in 12-team leagues, in 10-team leagues, definitely in 12-team leagues for about the last month and a half, I reckon, because he takes so many minutes to just provide such back-end, last, second-last guy on your roster value. Anthony Tolliver, 18 minutes, 6-3 with a couple of triples. Yeah, sure, but really just a deeper league guy. He will lose some of those minutes when Toby gets in there too. And Steve Blake is the preferred backup. I'd much rather it be Spencer Dinwiddie, but Steve Blake is. 16 minutes for him, 5 points with 3 assists. That's a really deep league diving stuff there. And Stan Johnson, I think we can drop him in standard leagues now. 22 minutes, 5-2-1, but it's a case of watch this space in case they decide to run Johnson back at 28 to 30 minutes. But that's going to mean a big reduction in what Marcus Morris is doing, and I'm not really sure that Stan is ready to do that. Marcus Thornton did not play after coming across in the trade, nor did Donatas Motiejunas, unsurprisingly. On the Wizards, Johnny Wall, 22-8-8. He also added a steal, a block, and 2 triples in a really great performance. And Marcin Gortat, another big night in limited minutes, which always pisses me off. 15-9 for Gortat, 2 assists and 2 blocks, continuing his good form. Brad Beal off the bench, another 26 minutes, 17-3 assists with 2 triples. He's really producing very, very nicely in his limited minutes. So if you own Beal, you're pretty wrapped with that. And Jared Dudley, I said he started. He got 26 minutes, 10-6-4, a steal, 2 blocks. Looks like a really good line. He is I own him in a deep 12-team league. And by deep, I think we have 2 extra roster spots than a usual 12-team league. But that's sort of where he ends. He's not a guy that I must hold in a standard 12-team league. Otto Porter went 11-6 with 3 triples. Not his greatest night. And Garrett Temple, this is close to his greatest night. 2 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists in 30 minutes. He is definitely in contention for I do the least with the most. He started again in place of Beal, but once this 3 games in 3 nights run is over, he'll go back to the bench and hopefully he loses minutes in the rotation. It won't happen though because Randy Whitman loves playing him 25 minutes, but hopefully when Gary Neal's back and when Alan Anderson finally makes his season debut, we can actually lose Garrett Temple out of this rotation. Nene played 17 minutes. He went 4-5. And they're still really good. His body just can't do it, so he's not a real fantasy option outside of those really deeper leagues at this point, especially with the addition of Markeith. The Battle of New York, the Battle of the Lopez Brothers, the Knicks versus the Nets. Mello played 38 minutes, 22-7-6, 2 triples, 3 steals, 1 block. That is a fantastic performance. I know there's lots of places out there really putting the fear into people about a Mello shutdown. He's going to shut it down. Look, maybe it happens. It's definitely not on the situation where he was last season. He's got a little bit of soreness. It's no real significant injury that's happened to it. I think, yes, if he shuts it down, it's going to be the last week of April. But hopefully, you're not playing fantasy playoffs then. You shouldn't be. You should really have your fantasy playoffs wrapping up by the first or second of April, around that sort of time. I don't imagine that Mallow just sits down at the back end of February and goes, I'm out for the last 6 week, boys. I'll see you next season. I just don't see that happening. Aaron Aflalo tried to do his best Doug McDermott impression. 17 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 3 triples. It all depends on him hitting his shots, whether he's good or not. I don't believe, well, not that he's good, whether he's good in fantasy, because he's not good in real life. He can score, but he's just not, like, he's not going to shoot 6 of 9 every night. And he is shooting at a much higher percentage than I anticipated that he would. And yes, you can own him for his points, but once it doesn't fall, you get nothing else from him.
Percentages.
Yeah, I don't think we need to worry too much about a rookie wall here. You know my distaste for the term rookie wall. 18-8 for Kristaps, a triple, 2 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks. Yeah, he's really good. He just has ups and downs. He's a young kid. It just happens to people. Langston Galloway played 26 minutes, Jose Calderon 22. Galloway at 26 minutes is not must own though, even though he's playing more than Calderon, because we've still got Jerry and Grant there. He'd need 32 minutes for me to go, yeah, I'm adding him in a 12-team league. 9-5-4 for Galloway. Grant had 6-5-3 and Calderon went 7-4-2. It's probably hard to own any of those guys in 12-team formats. Rob Lopez played 31 minutes, 10-7, not his greatest performance. And really, is that what's happened since Kurt Rambis has taken over? Lance Thomas, not a feature. 12 minutes in the last game, 11 minutes here, scoreless. He was a guy that was getting some pretty significant run under Derek Fisher, and for, by all intents and purposes, the team really liked him, and the locker room liked him. They loved what he could do, but Rambis, being the worst coach in NBA history, he knows better, and he's not playing Lance Thomas. So any 14-team value that Lance Thomas had is taking a significant hit at the moment. On the Nets, they got the victory. Brook Lopez, 33-8, 2 assists, 1 steal, 4 blocks. If you took the risk and invested in Brook Lopez, you got yourself a significant steal on draft day because so many people were concerned about the injury. You've probably got 1 or 2 rounds extra bonus value out of Lopez, and that's obviously good. The point guard situation, Don Sloan played 30 minutes, 14-10-4, 2 triples, 2 steals, and a block. That's a nice night from him. He plays more minutes more often than not, but because he played a good game here, it's going to be just as likely that Shane Larkin plays 30 in the next one. Sloan can be owned in 12-team leagues, but by no means is he a must-hold guy. And Shane Larkin at 19 minutes, 2-2-4 with 3 steals, just pisses me off that they won't give him minutes. I wish I could see him play some bigger minutes, but it's just not happening for him at the moment. Thad Young, 13-9-5 with 2 steals in 38 minutes. Joe Johnson went 12-6-6, and that's good enough for Joe Johnson to be owned in 12-team leagues. And Bojan Bogdanovic played 24 minutes and had 16 points with 4 triples. But like a couple of guys we mentioned already, Aaron Aflalo, Doug McDermott, if his shot doesn't fall, you get nothing from him. He was 6 of 8 shooting here. He went 4 of 5 from 3. And that's why his line looks good. But 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal, he doesn't contribute in enough categories for him to have value if the shot doesn't fall. Markel Brown had been playing pretty good. That's a terrible phrase in English. He'd been playing very well. Prior to the break, 20 minutes in about 3 or 4 straight games, just 10 minutes here, 2 points with a steal. Yeah, there's no point in talking about him. 4 standard formats. The Toronto Raptors and the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls got the surprise victory here, but Kyle Lowry still put up some stats. 27-3-8, a steal, a block, 2 triples. He just keeps on doing what he does. And we finally got to see 33 minutes of Jonas Valanciunas. 25-12, an assist, a block. Great percentages, 9 of 14 and 7 of 8 from the line. This is what he can do if he's unleashed and given minutes, but Dwayne Casey does not want to do that. Yeah, I understand there is defensive limitations from Valanciunas, but he can be a real offensive force for this team. DeMar DeRozan, 22-4-3 with 2 steals, a terrible shooting night, going 6 of 21, but a 9 of 10 from the line, sort of saves that because that's where you want him to have the impact. Luis Scola, 15 minutes in a start, yuck. And Pat played 28 minutes and was really decent, actually. 12-7-3 with a steal and a block and 2 triples. He's still hard to own in your 12-team leagues. James Johnson was back. He started and played 15 minutes. That forced Norman Powell out of the rotation. 2 points for Johnson. We don't need to worry about him. But it impacts Terrence Ross, who only played 24 minutes here. And Corey Joseph had 28 and 11-5-5. Neither of them are really moving the needle for me. And Bismack Biyombo, he's more of a block specialist. 15 minutes. 2 blocks. He had 6 blocks, I think, in the last game before the break. That's really all he's going to bring. On the Bulls, no Jimmy Butler means good Derrick Rose, apparently. 35 minutes for Rose, 26-3-6 on 12 of 20 shooting. He's looked fantastic the last 2 games. Obviously, he has to be owned, but when Jimmy Butler returns, I imagine we're going to see a bit of a drop-off in Derrick. And Pau Gasol, I said yesterday that he often destroys the Raptors. Well, he was pretty good here. 18-11-9 with a block. Not a great shooting night, but still a pretty decent night there. And Etuan Moore with the odd stat line. Just 9 points, but he had a triple, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and a steal. So a big night from Etuan Moore. He's a 14-team league sort of player. Taj Gibson only got 24 minutes here, and Bob Portis played 22. A little bit interesting that Gibson was limited. He did have some foul trouble, so that is part of the reason. But the other interesting thing is with Gibson limited, it didn't mean Portis played 30 minutes. Portis just played 22. They gave Cristiano Felizio 14 minutes. Portis is going to be stuck at this role. It's not good enough for 12-team leagues. 8-8 with a steal and a block. And Felizio had 8-3-3 in his 14 minutes. Mike Dunleavy cracked 20 minutes for the first time since coming back from his back injury. 5 points with 3 rebounds, an assist, a 3, and a block. It's going to take a fair bit for him to come into standard league consideration. And even with Kirk Heinrich out, Aaron Brooks only played 13 minutes. Well, not out, not on the team. 3 points with 4 assists for Brooks, and Justin Holiday still not with the team. the Philadelphia 76ers and the New Orleans Pelicans. Nerlens Noel, I tweeted this out today. I popped it up on Facebook as well. Over the last 2 months, Nerlens Noel is the 10th ranked player in fantasy basketball. I would be shocked if many of you knew that. You probably know that now because you've read the tweet. But at the start of the season, this is no shit. He was getting dropped in plenty of leagues. Dropped. Just, I'm giving him away. He had 24 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals and a block on 10 of 15 shooting. He is a legitimate fantasy force, and there are obviously concerns with the fit with Jahlil Okafor and potentially what happens with Dario Saric and Joel Embiid, but he is legit good. He is, for a guy who was at 46% shooting from the field last season, he is at 54% this season, but the last 2 months he is a 64% shooting. That is fantastic. And it's only 64% from the free throw line as well. That's not great, but it's not terrible. And he's doing exactly what we wanted him to do. 2 steals, 2.1 blocks, 8.5 boards, 12 points. It's fantastic numbers from Nerlens Noel. Just really, really impressive. And his last 3 games, he's giving us 16.7 points. If he can start scoring and then giving you big steals and big blocks, he is legitimately a top 15 candidate for next season. Now, it's always complicated by Saric, by Embiid, by Okafor. But he can do so many things that are just so hard to do. And getting 2 steals and 2 blocks a game is almost impossible. But he's maintained that amount for the last 2 months. It's really impressive. I love Nerlens Noel. Ish Smith was pretty good. 12-3-7 with 4 steals. That's more than pretty good. That's decent. And Bob Cove only played 25 minutes. 15-4-1 with 3 triples and a steal. Hey, the minutes are a pain in the ass, but that's still really good production. Jeremy Grant at 25 minutes. 12 points with a couple of blocks, but he went 6 of 6 from the free throw line. That's not going to continue to happen, although he has improved his percentages quite a lot recently. He's a borderline 12-team league guy for me. Jahlil Okafor, foul trouble really killed him. That allowed Grant to play some extra minutes. 19 minutes for Okafor. He fouled out 14 and 5 with a block. That also allowed Noel to play more minutes. He got 36 minutes. He's more of a 30 to 31 guy. So the absence of both those guys allowed, the absence of Okafor allowed Grant and Noel to play. It also got Carl Landry back into the rotation, who played 8 minutes. Cool. Isaiah Cannon, 13 points in his 22 minutes with 4 triples. He's so up and down. He's more of a 14 to 16 team league guy, same as Nick Stauskas, who went 11 and 2 with 3 triples in 25 minutes. But he looks like Stauskas is settled in as a starter and playing, you know, between 24 to 27 minutes most nights. And in 14 team leagues, that can be useful. On the Pelicans, Drew Holiday just killing it at the moment. 24-3-12, 1 triple, 4 steals, 33 minutes. I don't know why they don't start him, but it doesn't matter if he's getting 33 minutes, because I know that the starting backcourt of Norris Cole and Bryce DeJean-Jones is really just a big pile of crap. But they continue to do it. For what reason? I don't know. Now, Cole played just 27 minutes, 12-3-4 on 5 of 8 shooting, which is great for him. He's not a must-own guy to me in 10-team leagues, definitely. In 12-team leagues, he's a real borderline player. He just, I don't know. You know I'm not a big fan of him. And DeJean-Jones, who recently just signed that 3-year contract, started only 17 minutes for him. He is dealing with a wrist problem, so that limited his playing time. But he is really just a deep league player. Ryan Anderson got hot. 26 points with 4 triples, 4 rebounds, an assist, and a steal. He is quite an up-and-down guy. And Anthony Davis, despite some poor shooting, yeah, that's a pretty nice line. 34-7, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 16 of 20 from the free throw line. So a huge help there. 9 of 22 from the field. Not so good. But after 3 or 4 down games from Davis, that's a pretty decent number. Omer Asik grabbed 14 rebounds with 9 points in 19 minutes. And most people, or some people, will look at that and go, ooh, 14 rebounds in 19 minutes. That's pretty good. Yeah, he's a good rebounder. In the last month, he's averaging, I think, 8 or 9 rebounds a game. In less than 20 minutes a game, but that puts him outside the top 200. He offers you nothing. No, that's not true. He offers you a decent field goal percentage, a pretty good field goal percentage, but it's on limited attempts, but there's nothing else. He hasn't blocked shots, no steals, no assists, no threes, no scoring, a bad free throw percentage. He is I'm streaming in because I need 10 rebounds sort of player, a worse version of Tristan Thompson, if that's even possible. Alexia Ginsa played 10 minutes, and that's way too few. And Tony Douglas, 18 minutes, 3 points with 2 assists and a lot of ones. 1-3, 1 rebound, 1 steal, and 1 block for Douglas. And he's going to be fighting with DeJean Jones for those crap guard minutes. Dante Cunningham really putting his case forward for I do the least with the most. 32 minutes for 2 points and two rebounds, and he shouldn't be on any fantasy roster. We're going to see Eric Gordon returning soon, so he's not a bad guy to start looking at stashing, especially if you've got an IR spot. I try and get him onto my roster, but he's still a couple of weeks away. The Charlotte Hornets and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Hornets welcomed back Al Jefferson. He played 23 minutes off the bench, 6-5 with a steal and a block. And you heard me have a pretty big Al Jefferson rant a couple of weeks ago talking about what I thought he'd be like. And a lot of people will see this and go, oh, yeah, look, what a great start from Jefferson. I'll counter it by saying, yeah, it's a great start, but I think that this is basically what he is. I think that he maybe gets to 25 minutes. I don't think that he goes out and plays 30 minutes a game and goes for 15-6 or anything like that. I think this is who he is. He'll be a 23 to 26 minute guy off the bench and doing that. And to me, that's not going to be, if that's what it is, it's not 12 team valuable. You can add him, but I'm just have no confidence in him. Cody Zeller is actually good, and I feel like I'm the only person in the world who thinks he's actually good. 31 minutes for Zeller, 23-9 with two assists on 9 of 12 shooting. So a really good night from Zeller. I own Zeller in 12 team leagues, and I'm sticking to it until Steve Clifford makes a decision and puts Jefferson in above him. But for now, Zeller, I feel, is going to play over Jefferson for big chunks of this season. Kemba Walker, 25-6-4 with 4 triples and 2 steals. A nice night there. And Nick Batum struggled with his shot, 3 of 11, 7 points, but in true Nick Batum style, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks, helping out in all those other areas when his shot doesn't fall. So not a complete write-off from Batum. Marvin Williams played through his strained neck, 15-4 with 2 triples and 2 blocks. He's always at risk of losing minutes, but for now, he's still plodding along. And Frank Kaminsky made the start in this game. He played 24 minutes and went 4-6. He's really not worth dealing with for most fantasy formats. Jeremy Lamb also got hot. He played 23 minutes and Jeremy Lin played 23 minutes. I don't imagine that that assignment of minutes is going to continue, especially when Courtney Lee plays in the next game. Lamb had 14 points with 3 steals and 2 triples. That's probably going to be his best performance for the rest of the season. On the Bucks, Jared Bayless was out as anticipated with that knee, which looks like it could be one that cost him a few more games, and John Hansen was out again with his back problem. Now, Jason Kidd is not quite in Scott Skiles' territory, but he's still pretty irritating. I'm glad that they lost in this game. Sorry to all Bucks fans. But when he moved Michael Carter-Williams and Greg Monroe to the bench, now they're going to play the same minutes, if not more. Well, that's not true, because Carter-Williams played 29 minutes when he was getting about 32 as a starter. Greg Monroe played 29 minutes when he was getting about 31 as a starter. And both of those guys were not really. Monroe was crap. Greg Monroe took 2 shots. For a guy who's actually got talent offensively, he took 2 shots, 4 points, 6 rebounds. He had a steal and 3 blocks, which is really not part of his game, but that is not a good sign for Monroe. I don't imagine that he's not going to be droppable or anything like that, but that's just not good. Michael Carter-Williams, 14-6-3 with 2 threes, a steal and 2 blocks. Really nice production, but he only took 7 shots. Yeah, the shots were, Jabari Parker took 19, Giannis took 17, Chris Middleton took 17, and that's fine because Middleton and Antetokounmpo are probably the best 2 players, but you got to give Monroe more than 2 shots. Onto Jabari, 23-11 in 42 minutes, 2 assists and 1 steal. The minutes are way up for him. He's playing a little bit better. Still not fantastic, but that's a great, that is a fantastic number for or a fantastic line from Jabari. Chris Middleton, 24-7, 2 steals, 1 block, 3 triples. Doesn't get much better than that from a guy like him. And Miles Plumlee, who started in place of Monroe, went 6-6 and had 3 blocks. Really sort of John Henson light stream in for blocks, but he's just not going to block the shots to the same degree as what Henson did. And OJ Mayo played 29 minutes in the start, 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 triples with a block. Not sure why you play OJ Mayo over Michael Carter-Williams at this point. It's not like that. It's not like Mayo is he's not a better defender, definitely. He's not a better distributor. He's probably a better shooter, and that's fair enough. But yeah, I don't really get it. The next game, the Miami Heat and the Atlanta Hawks. Touched on Luol Deng already. Goran Dragic took advantage of the fact that all those guys are out. 17-5-10 with 4 steals. He is going to be a beneficiary from Bosch's absence, and if Wade misses more time as well. But the biggest surprise here was Josh McRoberts played 30 minutes, 19 points, 6 rebounds, 10 assists, and 3 triples. We haven't seen this Josh McRoberts since the 2013-14 season when he played for the then Bobcats. He has been pretty much terrible this whole season. I'm not going and adding him and going, this is it, Josh McRoberts is back, because he's not. That's great, and the out-of-position assists are really, really fantastic, but Whiteside comes back, he's going to take minutes away from McRoberts. Not that they play the same position, but it's just an extra 28 minutes that have got to come out of the rotation. Yes, Amari Stoudemire played 19 minutes here. He'll lose 5 or 6. Haslam will lose maybe 11. But McRoberts isn't playing 30 minutes every night. He's just not going to be able to. He's going to be in the low 20s. And he's also not going to go 19, 6, and 10 each night. It's just one of those things, again, where all these scenarios conspire to allow these guys to have big nights. And if I'm buying anyone, it's Deng over McRoberts. And even Justice Winslow played 37 minutes and went 13-9-2. I'd rather have Justice Winslow than McRoberts because I feel like his minutes are more guaranteed moving forward. I can see the Heat going Dragic, Wade, Winslow, Deng, Whiteside. That's going to be their starting lineup. They're going to play them all 30 to 35 minutes. When I say 30, I say 28 for Wade, 28 for Whiteside, that sort of thing. And then Richardson, he'll play a couple of minutes. Stoudemire will play 12 to 15 as the backup center. Beno Udrih's there. Gerald Green will get minutes, and he played 37 here as well, so he's going to cop a hit. McRoberts will cop a hit as well. Green, in his 37 minutes, went 14-5-2 with 2 steals and a block and a 3. Great, as long as Wade is out, and then Wade comes back, we restrict him to the deeper leagues. On the Hawks, they spread the minutes out with the point guards, but Jeff Teague was limited with fouls. He actually fouled out, played 29 minutes, 23-2-7, and Dennis Schroeder played 21 minutes, went 16-3-6 with 2 triples, a steal, and a block. Now, it's the first time he's got over 20 minutes in the last 7 games, so I'm not getting overly crazy and think, oh, it's going to be 22 minutes for him moving forward, he's going to be great, all this sort of stuff. In the last month, he's played 19 minutes a game, and he's ranked outside the top 160. You can maybe own him in 12-10 league, but I would be much happier streaming that spot or adding it with someone else. Unless T goes down, Schroeder is not going to do it for me in standard leagues. He's a 14-team league guy. Kyle Korver is back, maybe. 18-1-2, 4 triples, a steal, and a block. He's back. He's ownable everywhere. And Al Horford, 14-5-3 with 2 blocks and a 3. Paul Millsap was limited. Fouls again got him 12-13 in 28 minutes with 4 assists. Expect better from him. Don't expect too much better from Kent Bazemore. He played 23 minutes. I've been on the Kent Bazemore is not good train for a long time. 7-4 with 2 steals and a 3. He probably won't be this bad moving forward, but the addition of Kirk Heinrich, the fact that Tim Hardaway Jr. is playing more now, the presence of Thabo Sefolosha, I don't think Bazemore's going to get back to playing 30 minutes a night. I just don't think that's going to be him. Even in the last 4 games, averaging 31 minutes, 9 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, 1.3 threes. They're okay, but they're not top 100 numbers. His shooting has regressed after he was at a 46 or 47% to start the year. In the last 2 weeks, he's at 35%. He's at 42% across the last 2 months. This is who he is as a player. He is not a great shooter. And his red hot start to the season sort of numbed us to you look at it and go, well, he's just playing out of his brain and it's probably not going to continue. And he had to be owned, no doubt. But now he's in a situation where maybe he's not a must-own guy anymore because things are starting to regress to what or to who he actually is, and he's really just not that great of a player. Mike Scott picking up the extra minutes with Tiago Splitter out, 25 minutes, 13-6-2 with 3 triples for Scott. And if you didn't notice it, Splitter is out for the season. He's out for 8 months with a hip issue. That's a real pain because I think that Splitter can be a really, really good player. The next game, the Indiana Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The starting lineup for the Pacers all played at minimum 34 minutes, and the lowest one of those minutes was Paul George. They got a big victory on the road against the Thunder, and that starting lineup is working really, really well together. Yamahimi, if he is not owned in your league, I don't know why he's not. He's basically a top 100 player this season. He had a big offensive explosion. He took 18 shots. That's not going to happen. 19-11, but 2 steals, 2 blocks. He can produce. He's going to be a rebound guy. He gets blocks. He gets steals. He's a high field goal percentage guy. He's a free throw liability, but you need to look into that in your team. He should be owned, and he's not in plenty of places. Him and Miles Turner working the 4 and the 5 together is working pretty well. 16-5 for Turner in 36 minutes, an assist, 6 blocks for Turner, Can't get his free throws right. Not really sure why that is. 7 of 12 from the field for Turner. I love Turner. I think he's going to be a really, really impressive player this in his career. Monte Ellis got hot as well. 27 points with 3 assists, 3 steals, and 3 triples. Good night from him. And Paul George went 22, 5, and 10, and he was probably, you know, the fourth most impactful player. George Hill only scored 9 points. He went 3 of 11 shooting, but 11 rebounds, 9 assists, and 3 steals. He still did work that he needed to do. The bench, not so much. 13 minutes for Solomon Hill, 12 minutes for Jordan Hill, 12 minutes for Lavoy Allen, 10 minutes for Joe Young, 10 minutes for Chase Buttinger. You know, Allen and Hill, they've been flirting with 12-team league value at times. That's not happening because Mahinmi and Turner are clearly ahead in the pecking order. Those guys are more 14 to 16 team league players. And, you know, like Joe Young, but he's not getting run unless something happens to Hill or even something happens to Alice, really. CJ Miles, interestingly enough, didn't play at all in this game. On the Thunder, CJ Miles in 12-team leagues, he should have been dropped weeks ago. Russell Westbrook, 23, 3 and 18, 2 steals, a block and a triple, while Durant went 31, 8 and 3 with 2 triples. Big nights from both those guys, and both shooting over 50% in the game, so that's obviously impressive. Serge Ibaka was okay, 12 and 11 in 35 minutes, but no threes and no blocks sort of limits his production. And Enes Kanter, another double-double in limited minutes, 20 minutes, 13 and 10, and it would have been better if he didn't shoot 5 of 15 from the field. So Enes Kanter still getting it done in limited minutes. I don't believe in him as a standard league guy, though. Steve Adams, 6 and 7 with 2 blocks. He can be shuffled in and out of standard league lineups as well. And Cam Payne, only 12 minutes. A little bit disappointed there, especially with Andre Robertson out and with Randy Foy not even getting into the game. Would have hoped for more from Cam Payne, but as usual, he was still able to produce in limited minutes. Dion Waiters. Talked about those other guys looking for the crown. Who does the least with the most? Waiters wrestled it back. He played 32 minutes and scored 0 points. He missed all 6 of his shots and had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. You need to be in a pretty deep league, maybe a 16-team league for Waiters, and that's really odd considering he is playing over 30 minutes a night most nights. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Memphis Grizzlies. Jesus, there's a lot of games to get through. Gorgui Dieng, 44 minutes. He is just, Sam Mitchell is just like, you didn't get any Dieng? Have as much Dieng as you can have, because we are getting a shitload of Dieng at the moment. 14 and 12, 3 steals and a block, and we shouldn't complain because it's beautiful for his fantasy value, and it's amazing that he can play with Karl Anthony Towns. Who would have thunk it, apart from everybody? I know I say that way too often, but seriously. Towns was good, not great, but good. 11 and 15, still had a steal, a 3, and 2 blocks. Let down a bit by his 4 of 15 shooting, and Andy Wiggins dropped another 20 points. He went 10 of 10 from the free throw line, so really helpful there. Added 5 assists as well, so he's looking a little bit better lately. Still don't believe too much in his ability in terms of contributing in those other areas. And Zach LaVine played 26 minutes with Kevin Martin back, but he started, which is good. 22 and 2, 4 triples on nice shooting. Now, the problem with the Timberwolves is Sam Mitchell says dumb shit. And he said, we're going to alternate starting LaVine and Tayshaun Prince the rest of the season. They didn't start Tayshaun Prince in this one, and they didn't play him at all. Great. Fantastic. What are you going to do with LaVine? You're going to put him to the bench in the next one and play Prince 19 minutes. Who do you take the minutes away from? Hopefully they're not away from LaVine. You're going to take the 13 off Kevin Martin? I doubt he's going to do that. It's got to be 10 minutes off Adrian Payne, the 7 minutes off Damian Ruggiero. But just leave Prince on the bench. There's no need for it. Kevin Martin did return. He played 13 minutes for 12 points, and Shabazz Muhammad had 12 points in his 23 minutes. And Rick Rubio missed all 5 of his shots. Still had 5 points and had 9 assists. So helped you out in that area too. And also, I'm glad to see Tyus Jones playing 14 minutes and Andre Miller not playing at all. 5 points for Jones, a triple and 2 assists. I really think this kid can play. He is a real Dynasty League target for me. Might not pay off for a couple of years, but I do think he can play a lot. On the Grizzlies, Mike Conley, big minutes, 38. He's going to have a massive second half of the year. 25, 4 and 7, 2 steals and 2 threes. Big night there. But the big surprise is Jermichael Green, who started with Jeff Green out, 9 points, or Jeff Green gone, 9 points, but 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. That is, as someone pointed out on our Basketball Monster, it's almost a Draymond Green-like sort of performance with all those defensive numbers. But who is Jermichael Green? What do his stats give us? Well, per 36 for the season, he's at 0.9 steals and 0.8 blocks. So in essence, these sort of numbers are completely not who he is. Now, he's rebounding, fine. He's a pretty good rebounder. He's a decent scorer, but don't expect these defensive numbers to come all the time. he played the 30 minutes. Brandon Wright played 17 in his first game back, and the Birdman played 11. Will they want to get Brandon Wright minutes? Sure. But do we think that Brandon Wright can actually handle 30 minutes? He's never really been able to at any point in his career. Maybe, you say, at the end of the year last season for Phoenix. But he's been more of a, I'm having an impact in 20 to 24 minutes sort of guy. That might be the case here. He's missed massive amounts of time with his knee problem. Maybe he's not going to be able to play big minutes. Maybe Green continues to get 30 minutes. I've added him. I did add him in 112 team league just to see what happens over this short, just a short term add and see what happens. But I don't imagine this defensive production is going to continue. He's going to be a rebounding sort of guy who might add some threes, maybe get an occasional steal, but just a bit of an out of the blue performance. What I loved was Matt Barnes playing 33 minutes, 11, 5, and 2. People might look at that and go, that's not much, but he added a three, he had two steals, he had a block, and it was on 2 of 10 shooting, which will get better. He is a must-own player for me, and Zach Randolph, 17 and 8 in his 34 minutes. We also saw Mario Chalmers get an uptick, 10, 3, and 3 in 27 minutes. If he's playing 27 minutes, he is on the 12-team radar, no doubt, and he can be added as a speculative guy. We even saw James Ennis get in the game and PJ Hairston with 7 minutes, but that's because Lance Stephenson didn't play. So if Stephenson plays, you're probably going to see Chalmers drop off a bit. You're going to see Ennis and Hairston out of the rotation, and Tony Allen play just 13 minutes. So a lot of things factoring into this game. You're probably also not going to see Vince Carter play 26 minutes, so there's some minutes that can go to someone else. But a few things to factor into when we look at what's Chalmers going to do moving forward and what sort of impact is Green going to have. But definitely some interesting things happening in Memphis in terms of what we can do fantasy-wise. The Houston Rockets and the Phoenix Suns, Trevor Ariza. People love playing the Suns. 25, 6, and 3, 5 steals and 4 triples. A big night for him. Jim Harden, 27, 10, and 3. He had 3 steals, a block, and a triple. And 14 of 17 from the free throw line is obviously tremendous. Even Patrick Beverley scored. He went 7 of 10 for 18 points, had 2 triples, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. He'd been struggling lately, Beverley, I say that's fair to say. Is he a 12-team must-own player? I'm not sure I'd classify him as a must-own guy. He's outside the top 100 over the last month. He really fits specific needs. You need some threes, you need some steals. He's that sort of guy. He's not a must-own guy, but he's not out of place on a 12-team roster. Josh Smith, that's the guy. 23 minutes for Smith. He was brutally bad. 3-3, 1 of 7, and 1 of 4 from the line. He's owned in, I think, 13% of leagues. That feels too high. And Dwight Howard had 15-6 with 3 steals. So a pretty good night from Dwight there. Clint Capella can't get back over 20 minutes at the moment. 18 minutes there, 11-7. So his 12-team value is done. And speaking of done, Ty Lawson played 20 minutes and went 0 of 4, 1.4 rebounds and 2 assists. There is, if you're still holding on to Ty Lawson in 12-team leagues, I doubt you're listening to this podcast. Speaking of not knowing what's going on, the Phoenix Suns. Alex Len pulled out at the start of the game with that twisted ankle. Tyson Chandler lasted 8 minutes with a shoulder sprain or strain. Regardless, it's not as serious as what it could have been, so that's good news. He lasted 8 minutes. So we saw Chris Humphries play 27 minutes and go 18-12 with a steal, 2 blocks, and 2 triples. What? Mirza Teletovic played 34 minutes and went 25-8-2 with 3 triples. Okay. And John Lua played 21 minutes in the start and went 16-6-2 with a 3, a steal, and 2 blocks. Really good line. What do you make of it all? It's hard to say. Now, Lua was struggling to start the game, came back in late and put up some numbers. Earl Watson hasn't liked him so far, and obviously preferred Teletovic here. Lua is a fine 12-team league guy, but I'm not sure it's going to work out. Teletovic, he's going to be a points and threes sort of player, definitely not providing any defensive stats, and that can be useful. Chris Humphries, I'm not buying into it. This is a fluky situation. Unless Len and Chandler are out long-term, then I would take a short-term flyer on Humphries, but this is a fluky situation. It comes down to, do you want Lua or do you want Teletovic? I think that Lua's got the more diverse game, and Teletovic is probably going to get more minutes because it appears to be like what Watson likes. It depends what you need. Do you want really some big three numbers and scoring? Then Teletovic is your guy. Do you want some rebounding ability and some defensive numbers? Then Lua is going to be your guy. Neither of them are going to move the needle too much. They might sneak into the top 80 for stretches, but I don't think they're going to be awesome, fantastic, super players or anything like that. But with Len and Chandler struggling, adding Lua, adding Teletovic is definitely something you should be looking at doing. Devin Booker, 31 minutes, not a great night for him. 3 of 11 shooting for 10 points with 2 triples and an assist and a steal. There'll be better nights ahead for him. And Archie Goodwin in 31 minutes, he struggled, going 3 of 13. 10 points and 4 assists. Now, Ronnie Price returned. He played 23 minutes, so he didn't really cut into Archie Goodwin too much, maybe a couple of minutes. So that's good if you own Archie Goodwin. I still think we are going to see Brandon Knight back at some point this season. I have no real concrete evidence to suggest that. There's just been a few things that the Suns have said that lead me in that direction. The Warriors and the Trailblazers, the Warriors got destroyed in the end, really a huge, huge loss. Steph Curry, only 26 minutes, but 31, 3, and 5 with 7 triples and 2 steals. And Draymond Green went 14, 12, and 8 with 2 triples. And Klay had 23 points as well. So the big names all put up pretty decent lines. Andrew Bogut had been playing 20-plus minutes prior to the All-Star break, came back here and played just 14, 2, and 3 with 3 blocks. That is the issue with owning Andrew Bogut. He can be productive if you know he's going to get minutes. The problem is you can't expect him to get big minutes consistently. Maurice Spates played 13 minutes and went 10 and 6. And Harrison Barnes in 29 minutes, 5, 3, and 3. Just can't get behind owning him in 12-team leagues. As for the rest of the bench, there's nothing really to see with any of those guys. Ian Clark had 8 points in 8 minutes, but really, is that going to be something that happens all that often? Good to see Kevon Looney playing. 9 minutes for him, 2 points and 8 rebounds. I think he's going to be a really interesting piece in a couple of years. On the Blazers, aside from Dame Lillard's performance, CJ McCollum played 32 minutes and went 21, 4, and 7 with 2 steals and 3 triples. A really good night from him. And Mo Harkless, disappointingly, moved out of the starting lineup so Noah Vonleh can play his 22 minutes of bullshit. But Harkless in 25 minutes, 11 and 8, a 3, 2 assists, a steal, and a block. I've been on the Mo Harkless train for about 3 seasons. I think that he can be a really, really useful NBA player and a solid fantasy asset. If he's playing 25 to 30 minutes a night, he is worth looking at. Now, he played 25 minutes here. Myers Leonard played 5 minutes. Ed Davis played 16 minutes. Now, some of that is to combat the Warriors going really small, so I'm a little bit hesitant, but if it's in a 14-team league, Harkless is owned to me. 12-team league, I want to see what they do in the next game, because I think a lot of that is matchup-based, and Mason Plumlee played just 20 minutes. Interesting to see. Now, Plumlee had a decent line, 12, 5, and 5, probably one of his better lines recently, but couldn't get enough playing time. And Alan Crabb, 9, 5, and 2 with a 2 triples, a steal, and a block. He's still just a back-end 12-team league sort of player to me. Al-Farouq Aminu struggled, 3 and 6 in 25 minutes, not a must-own in 10-team leagues, and a borderline 12-team league sort of player. The Denver Nuggets and the Sacramento Kings. Danilo Gallinari did what he does, 27, 3, and 2, 3 steals, 3 threes, and a whopping 12 of 13 from the free throw line. His free throw impact this season is basically second to James Harden. He's been incredible. A lot of people will be looking at Nikola Jokic and going, what is happening? He played 4 minutes and had 1 rebound. He had 4 fouls in those 4 minutes, so that is why he played so few minutes. He will be dropped in plenty of leagues. I would look to go and add him. Joffrey Lavernier is not the answer over Jokic. Yusuf Nurkic, even with Jokic playing 4 minutes, only played 14. He had 2 blocks and 5 rebounds, so not a terrible night, but Jokic will be better. If he is dropped, I am looking to add him. Ken Fareed, 23 minutes, 6 and 9 with 2 blocks. He's just not a good player. And Will Barton had a pretty decent line, 31 minutes, 17, 9 and 3 with a steal and a 3. Joffrey Lavernier was good though, 25 minutes for 22 points, but it's just not something that's going to be all that reproducible, I wouldn't have thought. DJ Augustine played his first game for the Nuggets. 19 minutes for Augustine, 8 points, 6 assists, 3 steals, and 2 triples. Slotting into that Jameer Nelson role, he's a 14-team league guy. And Emmanuel Mudiay, 8, 2, and 4 with 3 steals. Not a good shooting night, but that's pretty much par for the course for Mudiay. 40 minutes for Gary Harris, 14, 4, and 5, a 3, a steal. I've been on him for quite a while. I think he's a really nice 12-team league asset, assuming he fits what you need to do. On the Kings, Boogie, 37 and 20. A 3, 2 assists, a steal, 4 blocks. Massive percentages. Really stiff to miss out on the monstrous line of the night. He went 12 of 20 from the field. He went 12 of 15 from the free throw line. That is a huge, huge night from Boogie. And Rajon Rondo wasn't too far behind. 24, 10 and 9. But 5 steals and 4 triples from Rajon Rondo on 8 of 16 shooting. He's been a fantastic fantasy asset this year. He's really not a good real-life player. He's just terrible in so many areas. But for fantasy, he's doing exactly what we need him to do. And Rudy Gay had 24 points with 4 triples as well. After that, it falls off a lot. Willie Cauley-Stein moved to the bench because Quincy Acey had to start. Come on, George Karl, what are you doing? 15 minutes for Acey, 0 points. 14 minutes for Cauley-Stein, 10 and 3 with 3 blocks. The potential is outstanding for Cauley-Stein from a fantasy point of view, but I do not trust Karl to give him consistent minutes at the moment, so he is not a 12-team league guy. Darren Collison got 33 minutes, I like that, but some of that is coming from the fact that Omri Caspi and Marco Bellinelli were both out. 17, 2 and 2 for Collison with 2 steals. Really, really nice performance, but I imagine he goes back to his usual 28-minute role, which is still 12-team useful. Don't forget that. Also good to have James Anderson play 24 minutes and score 0 points. That's a very useful use of your minute allocation. And Costa Koufos playing 10 minutes, because why wouldn't you play Quincy Acey more than Costa Koufos? Cool. The San Antonio Spurs and the Los Angeles Lakers. For the second time this season, the Lakers have made it tough on the Spurs. The Spurs got the victory without Kawhi Leonard. LaMarcus Aldridge played 35 minutes, 16 and 8 with a steal and 2 blocks. He had to play extra minutes because the Lakers kept it close. Same with Tony Parker, 25 with 6 assists. And Tim Duncan played 28 minutes, going 12 and 13 with 3 blocks. Maybe I was a little bit early on eulogizing Tim Duncan's fantasy career yesterday. I still think that he's not a must-own 12-team league guy anymore. Kyle Anderson, he started again in place of Kawhi Leonard and was really good. 29 minutes, 14, 3 and 3 with 2 steals. He's got a fantastically diverse fantasy game. He's just not going to see the opportunity here in San Antonio, but he's a name to remember. Danny Green, foul trouble, 19 minutes, 5 fouls, 2 points. He did add a steal and 2 blocks, so it still helped in those areas, but not a great night from Green. And Boris Diaw had 10 points off the bench. And Patty Mills went 15 with 7 assists and 3 triples. He is only a guy that I'm looking at in the deeper sort of formats. On the Lakers, Jordan Clarkson, 23 and 6, 4 triples and 2 steals. He is doing what he did, very similar to what he did at the end of last season at the moment. He is on fire. Make sure he's owned. He should be, but he's been dropped in plenty of different leagues. So make sure that he's around, or if he's around, going at him. Brandon Bass played 26 minutes, 10 points with 2 steals and 2 blocks. Let's leave him for your 14-team leagues. But I think this is the second time this season that he hasn't missed a shot the entire game. 4 from 4 from the field, 2 of 2 from the free throw line. Lou Williams, inexplicably 36 minutes, 21 points, a rebound, an assist with 3 triples. Still owning him at the moment, but hopefully if he goes down to 25 minutes, he's a cuttable guy. And Kobe took 25 shots, more than double anyone else. 10 of 25 for 25 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Very, very Julius Randle sort of line here. 11 from 15, including a 3, which was a last-second heave. He would have been on 8 points. No assists, no steals, no blocks. Apparently, he's locked in as the starter for the rest of the season, so that's good. He's going to get 30-plus minutes, but he's not an overall very helpful fantasy guy. He's a points guy, and even then, not a high points guy. He's a rebounds player, a bad percentage guy. No assists, no steals, no blocks. He can be useful, but he's not transcendent. Larry Nance's run as a starter is done. 17 minutes for Nance, 6 and 4, and Roy Hibbert continues to be bad. D'Angelo Russell wasn't great. 26 minutes for him, 8 points with 3 assists. I'm still trying to hold him if I can, but that leads me to probably the most Byron Scott moment of the season. They asked, in the press conference, they asked Byron, yeah, when are you going to let D'Angelo Russell close games out? And Byron's answer was, now I'm paraphrasing here, when he gets to start, when he's able to start, then he'll be able to close games. So when he's able to start, he will close the games, because that's what we like to do. We like to have the players that start the game close the games. So when he's able to do that, then he'll be able to close the games. I don't know why the reporters don't follow up and go, you know why he's not able to start the game? Because you choose the bloody starting lineups, Byron. It's not something that D'Angelo is in there going, oh, I just really got to work on my ability to start. I'm in practice every day working on, running through the team introduction just so I'm good enough to, I can actually start. Like, you name the starting lineups, Byron. You're the one, you make him start and then he'll finish a game. But he started the start of the season. And guess who didn't close the games out at the start of the season? D'Angelo Russell. So once again, Byron Scott, you are a dickhead. You are full of shit and nothing you say makes sense. He has to be a scripted character. None of this stuff that he says makes any sense. You can't say that we're waiting on D'Angelo Russell to start so he can finish, because you make that decision. You put him in as a starter. And even when he did start, he didn't finish the games. Stop ruining this guy. They do not play Clarkson, Randall, and Russell together. For what reason, I've got no idea. They're your core. It's not Bass. It's not Bryant. It's not Williams. It's not Nick Young. It's not Hibbert. They're your core. Play them together. Let them figure it out. Don't not play these guys at all and then give bullshit weak-ass excuses about why they aren't finishing games or why Russell isn't playing. You are a disgraceful coach, Byron Scott, and the Lakers are a disgraceful organization if they keep him on next season. He's not getting fired this year, but apparently they're torn on whether to keep him next year. If they're torn and I was a Lakers fan, I'd be tearing up my jerseys. He is detrimental. And I know they have to lose to keep their pick, but that's not an excuse to keep someone who's going to ruin the future, not just this year, because if apparently his rookies are so bad, playing them surely makes you lose. Isn't that logic? No, they're not. This is Byron Scott's logic. These guys aren't good enough to play. Yeah, cool. They're not good enough to play. They're not. They don't know what they're doing enough to play. So how is that going to make you lose games by playing them? How is that going to make you win games by playing them? Because apparently that's what the Lakers need to avoid, is winning too many games. Play them. Play them together. And don't give bullshit answers that mean nothing. Whew, I haven't had a Byron Scott rant in ages, but that was just baffling. Just mystifyingly stupid, that press conference. Gee, he's just a grade A dickhead. The last game of the night, we're finally here. The Boston Celtics and the Utah Jazz. The Celtics got hammered by the Jazz. The Jazz just shut people down. Isaiah Thomas was still good though, 25-2-6 on some poor shooting, but 9-10 from the line. Jay Crowder was good as well, 17-4-2, and Avery Bradley had to leave the game early with some injury issues. Haven't heard exactly what the injury problem is yet. 34 minutes for him, 12-4-2 with two triples. Hopefully it's not too serious. Now Kelly Olynyk is out for the next 3 weeks. Jared Sullinger got 29 minutes. Please, Brad Stevens, let's make this a constant theme. 9-11 for Sullinger, 2 steals and a block. He's probably owned everywhere, but he needs to be owned if not. Amir Johnson only 17 minutes. Jonas Jerebko played 16 minutes. Tyler Zeller played 18 minutes. That's fine. Just give Sullinger the biggest run. They also got Jordan Mickey into the game, who blocked 2 shots in 3 minutes. Now, someone tweeted me today about how much they love Jordan Mickey for Dynasty. I love Jordan Mickey as well. I think he's going to be a really, really talented player. But there's just too many guys in front of him to have too much of an impact this year. But in Dynasty, yeah, I agree that he can be a really interesting player. Marcus Smart, 8-3-3 with a couple of steals. Not his greatest night, but still impactful. And Evan Turner, not a good night. 10 points, but 1 rebound, 1 assist. I'm still holding on to him if I happen to own him. On the Jazz, Hal Neto, 29 minutes, 15-3-4, 2 steals and 2 threes. That's like a real player's stat line. He hit all 5 of his shots. And what it says to me is that, yeah, the addition of Shelvin Mack, yeah, Mack's not going to come in there and play 30 minutes. Now, a lot of people are like, I'm adding Shelvin Mack. Don't add Shelvin Mack. Shelvin Mack is decent, but you know, with Neto there, with Burke there, with Mack there, plus the fact that they don't need to run a point guard out there half of the time, yeah, Mack's not going to be a 12-team league guy. Neither's Neto, neither's Burke, who's just brutally bad at the moment. These guys aren't going to be useful. Big night from Neto, though. Derek Favors, 23-10-6 with 3 blocks. He's a very good player. And Rudy Gobert, 11-15 with 4 blocks. He's also pretty decent. My boy Rod Hood, only 29 minutes for Hood, 11-3, but 2 triples, a steal, and a block. Still getting it done. A nice performance. And Gordy Hayward went 22-3-4. So the Jazz big names all getting it done, as much as they're probably not big names outside of people who listen to this show or are massively in tune with the NBA. All right, we are done with that part of the show. I am out of breath completely. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back to talk about Saturday's 4 games for DFS. back. I apologize for that error in the middle of that song. I don't know what happened, and the song just restarted itself. So I apologize if you were really digging the song and getting stuck into it. Hopefully it won't happen again. Let's talk DFS. There are four games on Saturday. So let's see what we can do in terms of getting you one of those perfect DFS lineups, which I don't know if it'll ever happen, but hey, maybe one day. The first game, the Washington Wizards and the Miami Heat. The Wizards are on the third game in 3 nights, so there's a couple of things we need to pay attention to. Nene is probably not going to play. Brad Beal is also questionable because it's 3 games in 3 nights. But it's the Wizards. So when they were up big on Friday night, they kept Beal in the game. They have no idea how to manage his injuries. At least they're playing him 24 minutes a night over this stretch, but let's see what they do with him. We also might see the debut of Allen Anderson at some point, and Gary Neal is considered questionable. On the Miami side of things, Bosch is going to be out. Dwayne Wade is questionable with his knee issue. Let's start with the point guards. Goran Dragic at 5,600. He dropped 42 points today. He is a guy that I do like here. Now, if Wade returns, his value does reduce somewhat, but if Wade is out, which is a massive possibility, I love Dragic at 5,600. Johnny Wall at 10,200. 10,200, it's quite expensive. A Heat team who has been able to reduce point guard production, and Hassan Whiteside is back. Look, on a smaller slate, I don't mind spending up for him, but he's definitely not the most, definitely not the greatest investment, I wouldn't have thought. At shooting guard, it all depends on if Wade happens to play. If he is out, Gerald Green at 3,500 becomes almost a must roster guy. Even if he does play at 3,500, there's some value in using Green if he gets you 20 points, which is a possibility of doing. He's worth looking at, especially as Justice Winslow and Luol Deng play more at the four, so more minutes on the wing will open up. 7,500 with Wade with a dicky knee. I don't think we need to spend it on him. Garrett Temple, no thanks. And Brad Beal at 6,200. It's too expensive for a guy who might play 24 minutes. At the small forward position, there is some value here. Luol Deng at 4,800. This is he dropped 50 today, which is a huge, huge outing for him. I think that he's got another chance at least 25 plus, and he's less than 5,000. I like using him. Justice Winslow is more of a punt tournament option. He's priced at 4,000. He dropped 26 today, and you feel like his chances of going over 20 are relatively high if he's playing 35 to 36 minutes. And it's not like the Wizards are a massively great defensive team. Now, Otto Porter at 5,500, not an ideal matchup heading up against guys like Deng and Winslow. At 5,500, he needs to go 27, 28 points. Not all that confident in him doing that. Let's look at the power forwards. Okay, if Nene is out, you'd have to think that Marquise Morris will be better than what we saw from him. He only had 6 points, but at 6,000, I'm not putting my trust in him getting 30 fantasy points. Not using him. 4,500 for Jared Dudley. I'm a little bit happier about using him at that price tag. That's less than 5,000. Obviously, 4,500 is less than 5,000, so I'm okay with using him, but not overly thrilled. Whiteside is back for the Heat, so Amari Stoudemire comes out of calculations. Josh McRoberts at 3,500. He dropped 40 today. Did not expect that. No one expected that. Maybe you double up on him if Wade is out again, but I think that, look, at minimum salary, the chances of him getting 20 points are pretty much there. So I think he definitely has to come into consideration. At center, you've got Marcin Gortat or Hassan Whiteside. 7,600 for Whiteside, not buying into that. And 7,100 for Gortat, I would much rather take Gortat over Whiteside. He's averaging over 35 points in his last 3 games. And yeah, I still reckon you can find a better center in one of the other games, but I'm definitely taking that $500 saving and picking Gortat if I get an option between those two guys in this game. The next one, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Atlanta Hawks. The Hawks are favored by 9. The total here is 205 points. John Henson, I have to say, he is doubtful, hasn't resumed practicing with his back issue. Jared Bayless, I don't think he's going to be in with his knee problem. And Kirk Heinrich might make his debut for Atlanta, but none of this changes too much DFS-wise. Mick Carter-Williams at $6,000. Don't trust Jason Kidd to give him the minutes, but it is a nice matchup for him, so maybe you'd look at him in a tournament because we know he can put up some big numbers, but his highest score in the last 5 has just been 30 points. And at $6,000, I'm not banking on that. Jeff Teague's at $6,400. He's got a 35-point average, but Carter-Williams and the Bucks do shut down opposition point guards. So I'm not loving him. 4,600 for Dennis Schroeder. I don't mind it though. He's a guy that might be able to get us 20 points. He's averaging 23 across his last 3. I don't put a huge amount of faith in it, and I probably restrict him to being just a tournament point guard. But he can be a guy who gets minutes or gets points in limited minutes. at shooting guard, OJ Mayo's at 3,600. Yes, he played 29 minutes in Friday's game, but he put up 11.6 points. It's a friendly matchup here. It's strictly a tournament option. 4,100 for Kyle Korver, I can get behind that. He's averaging 23 across his last five, 26 across his last three. He's playing a lot better. It's a tasty matchup. For the Bucks side of things, Chris Middleton is at 7,700. You're going to have to spend up money on someone on this slate, and Middleton at 7,700, you feel like 35 points is easily within reach for him. He's averaging 37 across his last five. His lowest score in that five games has been just 25 points, so he's not a terrible investment. A 40-point average across his last three as well, I like using him. And guys like Rashard Vaughan, Tim Hardaway, Kirk Heinrich, Lamar Patterson, we're obviously not considering those guys. At small forward, Giannis Antetokounmpo, $7,400. You have to spend up a little bit for him, but 36 average across the last three is not terrible. He dropped 39 again today. Again, I'm not worried about Bazemore being able to restrict him, so Antetokounmpo is in play. Bazemore at 5,200, tournament only. He's averaging less than 18 points across his last three, so he's not really a great option. With the power forwards, you love as a big man playing against the Bucks. So Paul Millsap at 7,900, even in his foul, troubled game, he still put up over 30 daily fantasy points. At 7,900, he's definitely got 36 to 40 point upside here. And the salary makes it make sense, but this is a great matchup. Jabari Parker, on the other hand, at less than 5,000, he's playing basically 40 minutes a night at the moment. He dropped 36 today. He's averaging 29 across the last three at 4,900. The Hawks aren't like they're a tough team to go up against for big men too, so he is in play. With the centers, Greg Monroe, it is very risky to use him at $8,000, and I would not be touching him. On the other side, Al Horford at 7,200. I love it. The Bucks, going up against the Bucks, it's great for opposition big men. Horford, he's a 34 average across his last five. You think he can get close to exceeding that here. Miles Plumlee at 3,500, if you want to go cheap at center. He dropped 23 in Friday's game. Not sure he can really get those three blocks again, but 17 to 18 points is not terrible. He's averaging 17 points across his last five. And if you return 5x value there, you'd want it to be more, but it's not a waste. The next game, the New York Knicks and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Wolves are favored by 2. The total is 205.5 points. Nikola Pekovic won't play. Kevin Garnett won't play. And Nemanja Bjelica for the Timberwolves is questionable with a foot issue. The Knicks also signed Jimmer, so that's some exciting news for all Jimmer Fredette fans. Not sure how much playing time he's going to get, but hey, he's there. With the point guards in this game, I don't love any of them. Jerian Grant and Jose Calderon, no thanks. Rick Rubio at 6,900, that is just too expensive, although this is a nice matchup. So if you're ever going to take a punt on Rubio, this would be the one to do it on. But I'm not trusting him for any sort of cash game setup. At shooting guard, Zach LaVine, he's at 4,900. Is this a game where Sam Mitchell puts him back to the bench? Let's hope not. He's fantasy point production hasn't been great, only a 24 average across the last five, a maximum score of 27, and today he scored 22 real-life points and only scored 22 DFS points. So not sure he's the greatest investment, but he's relatively consistent and it's a nice matchup. Andy Wiggins at 6,600, dropped 31 today, but his price just feels like it's always too high. I don't mind it though. This is a great spot for him. He played really well and he was in the bright lights in LA. Maybe that's a similar theme for him in New York. Maybe I'm drawing a really long bow, but I don't mind using Wiggins here at this salary. I think that there is 40-point upside definitely with him. And Aaron Aflalo, strictly a tournament guy. At 5,000 though, he's only averaging less than 24 across the last five games, and that's not really enough. He'll have the occasional good game. Like today, his game was all right, but only 22 DFS points. It's not enough. At small forward, Melo, he's priced at 9,100, but he's constantly giving you 45 points, basically. Another 45 today, a 44 average across the last three. His lowest score in his last five is 36. Tremendous value, and I'm not imagining the Wolves are going to be able to slow him down too much. Lance Thomas, out of consideration. Tayshaun Prince, never in consideration. And Shabazz Muhammad is interesting at 3,800 in a really friendly matchup, but I just don't think he's going to get enough playing time to really take advantage of that. With the power forwards,
percentages.
He's at 6,800. He's averaging 37 across his last three. He does have some risk associated with him, but I still think that 30 points from him feels like it's almost a guarantee here. On the other side of things, Gorgui Dieng at 6,500. Love him. Love him. Another 35 points today. He's basically 35 points every single night at the moment because he's getting a shitload of minutes. Love him at that price as well. Not many other power forwards that are worth mentioning. with the centres, Robin Lopez at 5,500, not really getting it done at the moment, and going up against Carl Anthony Towns, not sure I want to spend up on him. On the other side of things, Towns is at 9,000. The Knicks have been restricting opposition centres pretty decently lately. Now, Brook Lopez had a nice game today, but 9,000 for Towns is quite expensive. If you've saved up in other areas, sure, fine, do it, but I'm not sure that I want to bank on him getting 43 or 45 points here to give you that 4.5x value. He could easily do it, but it's just the matchup is not, it doesn't look favourable from the surface. Lopez is a pretty big body, pretty strong guy, and we'll see how that goes. But by no means am I saying completely fade Towns or anything like that. We know how good he can be. The last game of the night, the Warriors, are we wanting to avenge that loss to the Blazers? They travelled to take on the Clippers, who looked really good in beating the Spurs. This is going to be a very interesting matchup. The Warriors are favoured by 5. We've got a massive total of 221.5. We don't know for the Clippers if Jeff Green is going to play after that trade. He should be ready to go, though, I imagine, 2 days afterwards. Now, the point guard battle. 10,000 for Chris Paul, 10,800 for Steph Curry. Chris Paul's got a great matchup here. Steph Curry allows opposition point guards to go huge. We benefited that by using Damian Lillard yesterday. Point guards going up against Chris Paul, not so good. So I'm saving $800 and I'm putting in Chris Paul. Not to mention that Paul's averaging 54 over the last three and Curry's averaging just 50. Yeah, Paul's got a higher max score in the last five as well. Fine with using him in both cash and in tournaments. And I'd prefer using him over, say, John Wall, who costs an extra $200 as well. At shooting guard, JJ Redick, Jamal Crawford, a couple of guys to have a look at. Redick at 4,900, don't mind it. Crawford at 5,100, I really like it. I prefer to use Crawford over Redick, actually. 6,800 for Klay Thompson, he's actually averaging less than what Jamal Crawford is over the last three games, and JJ Redick has been able to reduce the impact that opposition shooting guards have had, so that's a no for me on Klay. At small forward, Harry Barnes at 4,500, just doesn't move my needle whatsoever. And Wes Johnson, no thanks. Andre Iguodala, 4,300, no thanks either. Jeff Green's the interesting one. He's at 5,700. We don't know if he's going to play, but that salary's a little bit high, especially considering we don't know how he's going to integrate. Throw him into a tournament maybe, but I'm not trusting him in a cash game until we see how the Clippers use him. At power forward, Draymond Green is at 8,400. He almost had a triple-double today, but that only resulted in 31 fantasy points. He's averaging just 25 across the last three and 32 across his last five. It's not enough at 8,400. You can use him in a tournament, but that's about it. I can't trust him for cash games. And there is no other power forward. Look, maybe Maurice Spates at 3,800, but probably not. At the center position, DeAndre Jordan. He's at 8,600. It's a pretty high salary. And for as good defensively as Bogut is, the Warriors do, because of the increased pace, allow more points to opposition centers than average. Can you get 45 points out of DeAndre Jordan? Well, he's averaging 40 across the last five. I think 41 or 42 is a pretty decent guess for him. Bogut at 4,800, only a tournament option. We just don't know how many minutes he's going to get. But the fact that he played just 14 on Friday lends me to think that maybe against the Clippers, they're saving him to play him 20 to 22. And then he'd be an interesting guy to take a look at, but clearly not a guy that we're trusting for cash games. Let's look at the plays for Saturday. Dennis Schroeder at 4,600. Goran Dragic at 5,600 and Chris Paul at 10,000. At shooting guard, Gerald Green at 35, Andy Wiggins at 6,600 and Chris Middleton at 77. At small forward, Luol Deng at 48, Giannis Antetokounmpo at 74 and Carmelo Anthony at 9,100. Power forwards, Jabari Parker 49, Kristaps. I better do that louder.
Percentages.
That's better. At 6,800, Paul Millsap at 79. And the centers, Miles Plumlee, 35. That's a real tournament punt. Al Horford, 72. And DeAndre Jordan, 8,600. We are done, guys. Last 2 days of podcasts have been massive. There was so much to get through. Thank you guys for sticking with me. Subscribe on iTunes or at YouTube for the video version and leave a review. It's always very, very helpful if you can do that. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at redrock_bball or facebook.com/redrockbasketball and join in the daily Facebook and Instagram contests and have yourself a little bit of fun. Of course, Basketball Monster, you know everything that's happening over there. Some great stuff every day on Basketball Monster, so check all of that out. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.